There's a lot of things in this old world that just do not make sense. Like why there's so few believers on the firing line, while so many others sit the fence. But if you want to know where the Word of God stands, and believe it wants to use your feet and hands, it's time to take your faith out of the seats and into the streets, and come along with me. If you only look, then you will see on WCN TV.
Welcome to today's WCN-TV program. We are broadcasting live, and this is Tuesday, April 23rd, 2024. Well, folks, we had a wonderful conference here a couple of weeks ago. Great speakers, the old hymns of the faith, lots of great friends, and six people were baptized. If you were able to join us here in Wausau for our conference, thank you. And if not, we will be releasing a 7-DVD set, which will include the whole conference professionally filmed. And it would be a great idea to share that in a small group or home meetings, Bible studies with your family and friends. Stay tuned. We'll get you more information as soon as those are available. We're also planning something very special coming up in June, which I'm excited to tell you about, but we're going to hold off on that for another day. Just a hint, it is not a conference, but rather an event. And it has great potential to have a huge impact nationwide and help turn our sick, twisted culture around. I think you're going to be excited to hear about that, and I will share that with you shortly, but not today. My guest today is a very well-known national radio host, photographer, and author of numerous books. He's a regular guest on the Hagmann Report and a frequent speaker at some important conferences around the country. Steve Quayle is with me today, live from Montana, and we'll be covering a lot of topics. Welcome, Steve, to the program.
Well, it's an honor to be with you, Robin. We've got so much to cover, and it's interesting. One of the main paint companies in the United States, they have Sherwin-Williams, they have a globe with paint, their paint covering the world. Unfortunately, right now, it's red, and we're undergoing, I would say, the time of the dragon and the war against humanity that the Lord Jesus has warned us about time and time again, and the gates of hell are opening while the four horsemen of the apocalypse have started their gallop. It's not one thing, it's all things. I think the people of God have got to understand that the United States of America no longer is a country that so many of us grew up in, were blessed by. It's no longer the land of the free and the home of the brave. There no longer is equal justice under the law, but destruction by the warfare against the believers by the law. And as you and I, and we're on this podcast today, in real time, the tension in the NATO-West Russian warfare theater is about what I would call to the flashpoint and to the last breath. I think it's lost on most of the people of God. I know it is, not I think. I don't mean that to sound in any way pretentious, but there's a disconnect in thinking that somehow a political solution is going to fix a spiritual problem. We are as we were in the days of Judges in the Old Testament, when God himself said to the prophet Samuel, "Samuel, they haven't, the people, my people haven't rejected you, they've rejected me." I can say that that statement from the Old Testament pages defines specifically the United States is totally, not only void of discernment, okay, but we are under divine judgment. And the hardest thing, in my opinion, Rob, for Christians to get through and the Spirit of God to get through is the fact that you cannot, as a nation, make war on God, destroy the innocents, literally mock the Lord Jesus Christ, profane the name of the living God, embrace Satanism, bring in foreign gods, foreign idols, and absolute everything that a nation could do to cause a holy, righteous, faithful, and true Creator God, the Lord God of heaven. We are at the point, in my opinion, there is no pulling back. I believe that God has turned the United States of America over to becoming reprobate, saying that the living God will always defend his people, fight for his people, protect his people, but it won't be on the people's political theater or on their TV screen. It will be in communities and in little towns. It'll be in fellowships, home fellowships, where God's Spirit will move. And that's the only way, in my opinion, that we're going to get through the most perilous times, at the most careless times, literally shaking our fist at heaven. I'm talking as a nation. I'm not talking individually. Hope there's no one on this viewing of this podcast that would be shaking their fist. But ladies and gentlemen, did quote Dietrich Bonhoeffer, silence in the face of evil is evil itself. That cost Dietrich Bonhoeffer his life as a true martyr for the Lord Jesus Christ. So we are on the absolute, how should I say this, not on the edge, we're falling off the edge of unimaginable peril. And, you know, Jesus said a powerful thing. Robbie said, if I've told you earthly things, you believe me not, how can I tell you heavenly things? And if you look at what's going on in the Middle East, you look at all of the quote-unquote people clamoring for the third temple. We won't go there unless you want to go there. The ashes of the red heifer. I want people to keep their eyes on Jesus, because the scripture said that Jesus was the fulfillment of all the law, that there is no greater sacrifice. But I think people have also got to recognize that the war that is absolutely going back to Cain and Abel, and then obviously from that point forward, the sons of Abraham. And we're looking right now at the oldest war in history, the war of Genesis 3:15, where the seed of the righteous is at war with the seed of the unrighteous. And God is very clear. It's he who puts perpetual enmity between his seed and the devil's seed, and there is no truce. Go ahead, sir.
Well, I've been saying that for years, Steve. There is no political solution. This is a spiritual battle that we're in. And I do draw a distinction. You know, people often will tell me they are Christians, and I immediately think, well, what does that mean to you? So I have to draw a distinction between churchgoers and Christ followers, because there is a difference. And I believe many today are under strong delusion, even those within our churches, and maybe especially those within our churches.
Well, I even go a little bit more surgically, in my opinion, concise. It is not enough to say, well, yeah, I know Jesus casually, but does Jesus know you, okay? The evangelical world has made a big point of saying, well, you know, do you know Jesus? Oh, yeah, I know Jesus. Well, the Lord makes it very clear that many will come to him in that day saying, Lord, Lord, didn't we do all these things, cast out demons in your name, all of the events? And you know what the outcome is, Rob, is Jesus says, depart from me, ye who work lawlessness, I never knew you. And so what is important, and I don't use the word Christian any longer. I use the, well, I actually use it. I say Christian claimants who aren't. I'm talking about people who are bought by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, who have repented of their sin, who are calling on God for his mercy. I've been baptized, going in to the water, coming out, being absolutely, how should I say this, transformed by the new creation. And I take it, and I know you do too, but take it literally. The scripture says, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Well, we saw that that's what the word says, but how many Christians died because they never even prayed to the Lord? Lord, should I take this absolutely poisonous vaccination jab? How many did? No, they leaned on the arm of flesh, you know, and they basically, if they didn't perish, and I know people that died, and I'm sure you do too, but I also know people that are in their 40s and 50s, and they're in chronic heart failure. Not to mention that as somebody that first brought the attention of the world in to biological and chemical warfare almost 35 years ago, when no one even talked about that, it's now so obvious that the devil's agents, especially in the disunited states, are getting ready to unleash a gain-of-function, bioweaponized, genetically tweaked, let's call it what it is, virus to lock us down and to take us down, in my opinion, for the final time, unless the people of God stand up, speak up, and resist. And I have a statement, if people don't resist, they cease to exist. So what we have is we have the spirit of fear ruling the claimants to Christianity and failure to discern the Lord's body. I'm a member of the body of Jesus Christ. You are too, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet we have total heresy in the pulpit. I call them puke pits, by the way. We have total reprobation. In other words, reprobate activities. We've got friendship with the world automatically putting the people that go to those, what I call Ichabodoriums. Ichabod means the glory of the Lord has departed. And we have a reality disconnect. And I have called it, and I think it's the best term that anybody can define. And I give God the glory for this, but we have reality avoidance syndrome. We have reality avoidance disease. And we have, in my opinion, we've got a disconnect. And it's like we're smiling as the most evil entities, fallen angels, demons, and the human soldiers, if you will, they're human soldiers, hybrids, absolutely taking glee in the ignorance of those who claim to be Christians. And for the record, there's only two things I ever agreed with Barack Obama, whom I call the abomination of desolation on. He said, basically, America's the greatest nation in the world, and we intend to change all that, number one. And number two, America's no longer a Christian nation. The reason that we are in the predicament we are in is the silent majority, or let's just say this, the Christian claimant minority never held the president of the former president of the United States, or this one even, the one that we currently have, and that's another story. But the point is, we didn't get here all of a sudden. God has been showing us ever since 9/11 what's going down and going under. And now, and forgive me, but I don't think anybody said this longer than I have. That's to give God glory that we're undergoing a communist takeover and take down. We already, and if anybody wants to argue, fine, but we're already being dispossessed from the warriors coming across the border. And in addition to the warriors coming across the border, 800,000 Chinese soldiers in the United States. And people can say, you can't possibly know. Oh, yes, I can. And all you have to do is watch Michael Yan or Ann Vandersteel literally in the Darien Gap and watch busload and truckloads of everything and everyone imaginable coming into the staging camps and then being inserted in the United States. The curse of Deuteronomy is upon the nation, and it's simply the strangers from without will possess you from within. You shall be brought down very low. They shall be lifted up very high.
Amen. And I have quoted that scripture many times. It's not just happening here, though, Steve. It's worldwide. We have this migration situation happening pretty much in every Western country, aren't we?
Well, absolutely. And what you have is basically a philosophical jihad starting to be carried out in a physical jihad. And we have the Islamification, there you go on that word, Islamification of the Western world being taken over as they said they would. And remember the other thing Obama said that you can see, this is important. I think, Rob, people, especially Christians, will deal with the fruit of evil, but they won't get to the root of the matter. Jesus cursed the fig tree at the roots and said, "Many fruits from me from this point on." The point is that we have a total complicity in the overthrow and overflow of the United States, and we're spending money we don't have. The IMF, International Monetary Fund, which is nothing more than the global elite, telling America, you're spending too much money even for us. $1 billion here, $91 billion here. There aren't enough years in the coming century to pay back that debt based on gross domestic product of the nations of the world. And we've increased our debt so greatly that the rest of the world is going to repudiate the debt. They already are. Our treasury bonds, especially a 30-year treasury bonds, were the hallmark, the foundation of America's issuing debt. There's no one left to buy the debt. There's a total aversion to people.
We lost your audio there for a minute.
Yeah, I'm hearing an echo.
Okay. Jonathan, our producer, can you fix that? You doing okay? All right.
Okay.
So, Steve, I wrote an article a few weeks ago, right around tax time, asking the question, why do we even pay taxes? Because it isn't even real money in the first place. All it does is put a burden on the citizens. The government just issues more digits. It's already digital. They're making it out of thin air. So, I agree. But at the same time, why are we even? The only reason I can see that they require us to pay taxes is to keep us enslaved. Am I right on that?
Absolutely, and to destroy. More than enslaving, it's the destruction. I remember, I've been on a long time on talk radio and then podcasts, etc. But the point is, I remember telling people the middle class will be destroyed. They will absolutely, the globalists, the elitists, the trilateral. And by the way, that's old news. But what's happening, to answer your question specifically, it's they, the global elite, want the death of 95% of the world's population. And they starve people into submission. The ones they can't starve, they inoculate or they vaccinate. The ones they can't vaccinate, they will absolutely come against everything, everyone, every way, including the chemtrails, which, for the record, and the geoengineering thing, I was the first guy 35 years ago to take that on. And Rob, FYI, I mean, this is a matter of fact, people would not believe it. Look at Dubai, the floods in Dubai.
They still don't believe it. They still don't believe it. You can, in where I live, for the last few days, we have woken up to beautiful blue skies and sunshine. And by about 10 o'clock in the morning, you start seeing the checkerboard patterns in the sky, and about 11 o'clock, it's overcast, and about 2 o'clock, it's raining. So,
yep. Same thing in Bozeman, Montana. What's interesting is we're a valley surrounded by mountains on all of our, you know, on every northeast, west, and south. But now it's not chem trails, it's chem falls, chem waterfalls. You know, I'm in enough aircraft at high altitude over the last 5 years, and you know, just to tell you that I know the difference between a chemtrail, okay, a contrail, but what's happening now, and people are reporting this and sending me pictures, they're like waterfalls, streams of chemical compounds coming down upon them. I have a picture I took outside of my house, you know, X marks the spot. Well, I got to tell you, they're over me with X's, and I rebuke their X's in Jesus' name. But the point is that the disconnect, in my opinion, you can talk all you want. I'm talking me now, not you. I can talk about, you know, weapon superiority of the Russians. I can talk about all this stuff. But at the end of the day, it all boils down to this. What's a transgender benders, whether it is the destroyers of all humanity, at the end, the argument is this: we're facing the days that Jesus declared that if he didn't shorten the days for the elect's sake, those bought and paid for by the blood of the Lamb, the followers of Jesus Christ, not the claimants to Jesus Christ, because the same people that claim, oh yeah, I know Jesus, they're the ones that will turn on the remnant quicker than anything and anyone can imagine. We're already seeing the vilification, especially in Canada. You can't openly speak specific scriptures or even pray in public areas silently where there might be abortion. And there are people now standing trial for that. So the weaponization of the law against Christians is underway. The financial attack on Christians is the big five banks in the USA, starting with B of A and Wells Fargo. I call them Hell's Cargo, my opinion. They're now taking on a punitive, offensive attack. It's not you know, some kind of conspiracy. And by the way, I wish the people that are in any type of reality press, if they even exist, the word conspiracy theory, the word fear-mongering are all intelligence agency buzzwords based on neuro-linguistic programming. That's basically tell a lie, tell a big enough lie, repeat the lie, and people believe it. So in essence, conspiracy, most people say, ah, yeah, conspiracy theory. They can't even define what a conspiracy is. You look it up. It's two or more people usually agreeing ahead of time as to an illegal act. It only takes two for a conspiracy. And again, the thing is, what is the end product? The end product is what Jesus declared to us, that if God the Father did not shorten his sake for the elect, his elect, there would be no human beings left alive. You get that little demon from hell, in my opinion, Yuval Harari, the godless guru of the WEFers, I'm sorry. And it's interesting to me that people don't understand what he's saying. I personally take great offense, and I got to be honest, to fear the Lord is to hate evil. God never told us to lay down in bed with the devil. That goes for churches that have gone woke. And I say this, they do a great disservice to themselves to go woke and to become poster child for poster children for everything that Paul wrote in the book of Romans, the first chapter, that was evil in the sight of God. So you've got people that are more concerned, again, I'm speaking in general terms here, with friendship with the world, the destruction of their children, the absolute annihilation of little ones in the womb, which is nothing more than infanticide. But it's even more than that. It is as those who have mocked abortion in the past said, the Christians don't even understand. This is our sacrifice to Satan. And, you know, I mean, I remember that book. I used to quote it. I think it was called The Sacrament of Abortion. This is talking 20, 25 years ago. But that's carried through. Look at what happened with the elderly under the CV-19, quote, bioweaponized attack upon the United States, gain of function funded by Fauci et al., Fauci and everyone else. I quoted Shen Ping, a real guy's name, high-ranking member of the CCP, Chinese Communist Party, saying, with our bioweapon, we defeated the United States. And quite candidly, they did. To get people, especially claimants, to understand, Jesus said, if God the Father, I'm going to be hitting this, didn't shorten the days, there'd be no human beings left alive. Enter the transhumanists, the singularity promoters, the people that hate God's creation. Yet they want to live forever, but they just want to take what God has done and create a man and woman, Adam and Eve, and they want to do away with godly covenants, the marriage covenant, verse 1, Genesis, and everything that the left, the evil, and the claimants to the social gospel are doing has one end product, destruction, genocide, annihilation, and extinction. That is the tripod on which the devil has set his, I would say this, his entire battlement, and he's going to war. He's only got one goal. He doesn't care who kills who. He just cares that everyone gets killed.
Yes, the blood of the innocent is the currency in the demonic realm, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And I literally prayed this, and some of those who are, I think, on the screen have listened to me make this statement. If Abel's righteous blood cried out to God, what is the harmonic tremors of all the blood of the innocents, the currency of Satan himself, crying out from the sewers of America? Crying out from the sewers of America. The silence of the claimants to Christianity, the cowardice in the puke pits. I'm sorry, I don't know another word. I do, but the puke pits is the nicest way I can communicate. The people who are truly wanting to follow God, they get some of the most bizarre people on television, and I believe that, in essence, the television presence of so many quote-unquote Christian programs are what destroyed the local church, because there's a local church, the expression with the church bells, the little white church, you know, every community had them. Sunday was Sunday, and, you know, now the church bells are silent, and what do we have? We have the call of the faithful in Islam, whatever they call that, you know, the madrasas, whatever, I'm looking for the word, but you've got the call to prayer five times a day in Minneapolis. That, you know, I mean, that's like a mind-blowing thing. The
and Michigan.
Yeah, and Michigan. Thank you. Thank you.
Go ahead. Steve. I don't know about Illinois, but we do have Michigan and Minnesota overtaken by Islam, where they have the upper hand.
And remember, everybody, and this is true, Obama did say, watch what I'm going to do for Islam. Most people don't understand his roots are Iranian. Most people don't understand who Valerie Jarrett is, the same Valerie Jarrett that took billions, tens of billions of dollars of currency to Tehran when there were sanctions against Iran. The whole narrative of Iran, and this is something I've been trying to get across to Christians, who will ever listen or who will make the effort to listen, is the fact that Iran in the Old Testament was the most powerful evil empire beyond Egypt. The oldest empire in the world is Egypt. And what's critical is that Daniel the prophet prayed and fasted. He was a righteous man of God. And one angel first came and told Daniel, from the time you set your heart to prayer and fasting, I'm paraphrasing it, you know, your prayers were heard. And I was sent. Again, the archangel was sent, one of the two, Michael and Gabriel, give everybody, to fight against a prince of Persia who withstood the revelation of God's answer in prayer through his archangel to give Daniel the prophet the answer and the understanding of the end of the Babylonian captivity of the Jewish people at that time, okay? And I let me use a different word, of the Hebrews at that time. Because again, you know, here's what's important. People will look at the fruit of evil, but we're talking about the root of evil. Suffice it to say, Iran is the most powerful, supernaturally orchestrated empire in the history of the world. And the lies that have been going on concerning Iran, oh, they're working on an atom bomb, oh, they might have three. That is the most bogus lie. It's deception. Iran has hypersonic missiles. The United States does not. Iran has nuclear warheads, hydrogen bombs, fusion bombs. Well, how can I know this? Because I know people that actually live in that world, and they'll tell the truth. They have some of the most astonishing drone technology, and they also have something that most people don't understand. Iran and Russia have a mutual defense treaty. Iran and India have a mutual defense treaty. Iran and China have a mutual defense treaty, even though China and India are going at war in the Ladakh region of the Himalayas. So as long as you have a common enemy, you have a common bond. But these enemies of the United States, and there's no love lost in the world for the United States. Nigeria, some of the African nations are holding thousands of U.S. troops captive. Do you think the entity, when I use the word entity, I'm new to your program, Rob, but I use that word is something that is not totally human. A hybrid, a demon possessed, a fallen angel, you know, that can take on the presence of a human being. And we're told in scripture that don't marvel at it, because even Satan's angels can basically take on a form that people say, oh, they're just humans. They're not. That's why with the discernment of spirits being so critical nowadays and the lack of discernment, I mean, in essence, we're watching a captive nation, given over to damnation, at war with a living God, with no longer equal justice under the law. And I know Doug may have talked about this, Hagman, when he was on your show, or forgive me, at your conference or whatever, but he was the first one to say they will come at the believers with lawfare, L-A-W-F-A-R-E. Then I'm telling people today, and from now on, I'm telling people, if you live or have your finances, if you live by having your finances, Bank of America, Wells Fargo, J.P. Morgan, U.S. Bank in the top five, okay, you will lose everything because they already have the law on their side. They can bank bail in, meaning take all their depositors' money, and give you stock. What's stock worth in a worthless bank? Absolutely, not even it's printed on. So it's important. It's really astonishing that the indifference, I know where I'm going, the indifference, the apathy, and the carelessness in the United States of America has brought upon our disintegration, our destruction. I know not the time of the buttons being pressed, but Dimitri Dudeman, there's so many real prophets. I'm not talking headline YouTube prophets, but there's real prophets out there that have seen the destruction of the United States. And you know, it's one thing to just hear it now, or the what I would call the phony prophecies. Thus saith the Lord. I'm not making fun of God. I'm making fun of the people's attitude. Russia will attack the U.S., but God will repel the Russians because God is on the side of America. No, he won't. The Lord has turned this nation over, not its people, not his believer, but this is the end of empire. And ladies and gentlemen, the ultimate umpire for the end of empire as a living God. And he says in his word, you know this, Rob, at what time does God speak concerning a nation to build up or to destroy? If that nation does that which is right in the sight of the Lord, God will repent of any evil he's declared against it. But if a righteous nation turns from its righteous way and embraces the wicked way, God will not hold them harmless, but he will deal with them where they are at in the points of their heart. And is my contention, no apologies, the United States has been given over to destruction. There is no political solution to a spiritual problem. That's actually my statement from 35 years ago on talk radio. And the people that are looking for a savior are the ones that wanted a king in the day of Samuel the prophet. And God said, you know, Samuel, they've rejected me. The rejection of Jesus Christ, the adulation, the adoration of, you know, everybody in D.C. is narcissistic. And I don't think most people can understand the level of treachery and treason, because as God reveals the sins of the leaders to the people, this is the word he gave me, and the people sins before a holy God, and he did put this in context. I started talking about this, you know, before Trump even announced his run for presidency, although I said God would use Donald Trump to divide the nation. That's before he became president. The living God, was going to reveal the sins of the leaders to the people and the people's sins before a holy God. I believe that's happened. I just don't know when the sentence is carried out. Sentence being carried out means we, the United States, in order to sacrifice the people of the United States, I'm talking the Luciferians in the demonic centrally identified area as the slaughterhouse, Washington, D.C. It is going to come quickly. And, you know, it's like the scripture says, you know, in 1 hour, Mystery Babylon is going to be destroyed. There are people that are still arguing, oh, that's still a rock. We got decades left. I said, when you're as decadent as we are, you don't have decades left. But again, to put this into immediate importance as we're on, I'm watching my email on my right screen. I mean, people are starting to get it. I mean, it's like the light goes on, and the light switch has been off for so many years. Don't worry about an EMP. There's been the equivalent in most of Americans' ability to see cause and effect. And that's due to the former director of the CIA statement, Bill Casey, will know our efforts have been effective when everything the American people believe is a lie. You've heard that quote. It's a true quote. And even the authenticity of his guarantee by the woman that was there cataloging it when he said it. So we believe a lie. And if you believe a lie, you die. And where is truth? The truth is not found out as a abstract concept. Truth is only in the person of Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Yet there is no, how should I say this, lifting up of Jesus. Most of the pulpits, and look, I blame Christendom, and I spell Christendom with a D-U-M-B on it, because as they yield every opportunity they have, I'm talking the mega churches and the get along with everyone, as they embrace, you know, ballerinas on the verge or on the rim of the lake of fire, you know, as they bring in every horrific false idol, whether it's the Egyptian god Anubis, the crystal skulls, every evil form of idolatry and worship is okay in America. But the cross, because it represents God's viewpoint, it's an enemy. And now I'm telling everybody who has fellowships, if you meet in a building on a regular schedule and it's public, you better have, and I'm saying this, trained armed guards, not mall cops, even in the parking lots during the service, because they are targets of opportunity. And even the enemies, look, if I told people that the sophistication of the jihadis and of the not so nicey naughties, I'm making that word up, that, you know, they're sitting ducks. They, those who believe that they're doing a religious, what would you say, service or honoring God, whoever he might be. I've actually heard somebody say that. I asked him, why do you even go? Well, it just makes me feel more at peace. I say this, peace can come with a price, especially to the damned of eternal damnation. In essence, I call it the lullaby of madness, because it's put people asleep. And what's a lullaby? It's soft. And then you've got the prancing, dancing peacocks across the state. I'm sorry, I'm hearing we're breaking up again. The trying to be cool. Are we on okay now?
Yep, you're good. You're good.
We have the dancing, prancing peacocks across the stages. Some of the biggest names that are out there, and they won't talk about Jesus. Or if they're Joel Osteen, when he was asked by, Larry King, when Larry King was alive, three times, Joel, as a Christian, does a person have to know Jesus to be saved? You can look at this one on YouTube. Larry, I like to think the abomination of desolation, unfortunately, in my opinion, sure, I understand the history of Antiochus Epiphanes. Sure, I understand the desecration of the third temple. But I want to tell people this. They who fail to see this is a temple of the living God, who fail to see the whole purpose of partaking of the Lord's Supper, Holy Communion, if they will roll over for the mandates, the dictates, and I would say this, the siren song of hell, which is the next round of mandatory vaccination coming, even Dr. Phil is talking about that people have got to, I'm only using his example, the lights are going on now. The next time they want to take it all down, you won't be locked in your home just to be locked there and then you get out and, you won't be able to order from Amazon, blah, blah, blah. It's going to be the perpetual lock-in and the knock-in, just as Alexander Solzhenitsyn warned us in the Gulag Archipelago, that, as long as the people didn't hear the knock on their door, they just referred not to. Or as, people were singing in Lutheran churches as the trains going to the prison camps. And by the way, it wasn't just Jewish people. It was Christians. It was gypsies. It was the inane. But who started with in the whole Nazi purification is they started with the elderly. Who were the first dead intentionally, and I say this, murdered, were the elderly that were not having any COVID symptoms, moved into guaranteed isolation units, old folks home or whatever, and they died. And, obviously there's enough evidence, there's enough studies, but studies don't matter any longer. Facts don't matter any longer. The only thing that matters, in my opinion, is the mouth of mind control. The one-eyed cyclops, that's television, the mainstream vomit brokering accessories to mass genocide. That's a mouthful.
Yes, it is, Steve. And, why don't we ask our audience if you have any questions or comments, because then we're going to move on. Ray has his hand up. Ray, come on in.
Yeah, you didn't get to it yet, and I don't know if you will, but silver and gold. On silver, what do you think would be more tradable? Junk silver or those ingot bars? What would you suggest?
Well, and I've been in the business.
Let me just interrupt. Steve, I did promise the people we'd talk about precious metals.
Yeah, I think
but I also want to throw you a curveball if we have time. So
yeah, throw me the curveball.
No, let's do the metals first.
Yeah, but okay. I want to do the metals because Ray's question is a question I get asked day in and day out. And in essence, the junk silver is a term for coinage, dimes, quarters, and halves, half dollars, minted before 1964. That means 64 and earlier, those are silver coins. The problem, Ray, is that the average person doesn't understand the amount or the composition in the silver coins to define value. So for barter, and I want to make this clear, barter, 1 ounce silver rounds are the standard. 1 ounce silver rounds are absolutely definable because silver all over the world has a different price than what they show in America. Gold all over the world has a different price than what they show in America. Because
so you're talking like silver eagles.
No, silver. Yeah. Listen, silver rounds. Let me differentiate. Silver rounds are just 1 ounce troy, meaning all silver and gold is measured in troy ounces. A troy ounce is heavier than a dry ounce. Okay. And the word for dry ounce is avoirdupois. Well, it's easier to say dry ounce. So there are 12 troy ounces to a pound, 16 troy ounces. There are 12 troy ounces to a pound. A troy ounce is heavier than a dry ounce. Where normally people think a pound would have 16 ounces, that's not true. It is a troy ounce. So I recommend 1 ounce silver rounds. This is a 1 ounce silver round. I'm trying to see where my camera is. You know, it says 999 fine on it. You, Rob, brought up the word silver eagle. Silver eagle is 1 ounce of silver with additional premium because they are struck in limited quantities by the U.S. Mint. This today is worth about $30, okay? A silver eagle today is probably going to run about $32, $34 just because it's struck by the mint. At the end of the day, an ounce of silver is an ounce of silver. At the end of the day, and this is like a 1.6 ounce bar of gold, and these are called Valcambi bars, 51 gram individual bars, serial numbered, and you can break them off. You always barter with silver or small fractional gold. And this is the easiest way to buy it. These are, I don't know if you can see them.
Yep.
The thing is that that's the best way. You can see this when I pull it out because I make sure that when I travel, I carry one of these in my wallet. You know, I don't travel much anymore because, you know, number one, I go, why? Like this, it's I can get to you or you can get to me through Zoom or whatever. But when you travel, you have to expose yourself to everyone on the airplane. You've got to expose yourself now to the DEI failure of, you know, aircraft mechanics. And in essence, if you deal with carrying silver or gold on the airplane, it's got to be under $10,000. It's not worth the hassle. So most people I know who are going from point A to point B, they're calling ahead. They're finding out if there's any construction. They're going from gas station to gas station, whatever the range, but gold, here's the best way to say it. Silver is to buy food, barter for food, and exchange for small value items. Gold is where you put your savings. Gold is where you protect your paper currency, that which you worked for all your life. This holds the value, and gold has gone up. You know, I mean, the other day it was $2,450. $2,450, the highest in history. And then the paper market, paper markets are defined as ETFs, exchange traded funds, or you could put execution traded funds. And who would they're executing people. This in an exchange traded fund, a share could, this is a blank piece of paper, but let's say it says 100 ounces of gold, 100 ounces of gold today would be about $250,000. And they're going to discount this 100 ounces of gold, saying, we're going to sell this 100 ounces of gold to you, which is worth $250,000 for $200,000. People go, oh, great, because I'm buying it for $200,000, let's say 100 ounces, and they're going to pay me back 2 years, 3 years. Well, they're going to pay me back whatever the price of gold is. Done deal. The people who have offered the bait know this, they're giving people a hope for an unrealistic gain as paper money, especially American dollars, worldwide get repudiated. Meanwhile, nobody wants U.S. dollars. Everybody wants gold. The reason gold has been, and silver, Ray, have been going like this is all the money up and down, all the money that's gone into cryptocurrencies, which is now in close to $1 trillion. That money used to go into metals, but the promise of amazing returns. Who doesn't want to have 1,000 shares of Bitcoin at $1? And now it's, you know, what, $60,000-$70,000 a Bitcoin, let's say between 60 and 70. That's $60 to $70 million. Okay. So the point is that people see that and it's a trap. Bitcoin cryptocurrencies, if you live in the United States and you get an EMP attack, if you can't get to your wallet, a wallet is that keeps your code that basically ties you and your Bitcoin account to yourself. And oh, by the way, Bill Gates just has the patent on turning your body, it's on my website today, deepwhale.com, your body into it, your own coin wallet, where all of your body functions will be able to access, you know, your code to Bitcoin or whatever your code is for Bitcoin. So what I'm saying this, having it in your hand, and this is my statement, I stand by it. If you can't touch the silver, if you can't touch the gold, you don't own anything. And that's not rocket science. It is the truth of the times we live in now. So I would recommend to people, look, you know, imagine the day that an EMP attack, or more importantly, a cyber attack. And I want to make it clear, these aren't hack attacks by a bunch of, you know, kids that you see in some movie theater presentation that are, you know, getting on the internet. This is the orchestrated warfare of sovereign governments attacking the infrastructure of the United States. Oh, by the way, did everybody notice that just, what was it, yesterday, a water treatment plant in Texas was shut down by cyber warriors? Did you guys see that?
Not, yep.
Yep. So to answer your question on gold and silver, God made this. God made the gold. The book of Genesis talks about the gold of Ophir. Men make this. With men being as trustworthy, sinful, and at war with God, do I trust this which man made or this which God made? The scripture that people like to throw, well, they'll throw their gold in the streets. That's at the day of the Lord. Up until that time, the Antichrist comes on the scene and he controls the gold. He controls the silver. He controls the precious things, the jewels, the diamonds, the rare earths. So it's my understanding, getting back, circling around, it is wiser to have a 1 ounce silver round, which by law says 1 ounce, 999 fine silver. Silver goes to 50, 100 bucks an ounce. You know that's worth 50 to 100 bucks. Can you tell me right now, Ray, if I asked you, this isn't a test or a quiz. I hated them when I was going to college. I don't give them to other people just because I was trying to, you know, get away from tests. I don't like tests. The point being is that you're going to not have to argue someone's value. You give them a dime, a pre-64 silver dime or a quarter, and they say, well, how do I know it's worth that much silver? People are combative in ignorance and exploitive if they know you don't know what you're talking about. So this gives you the mental and the historical and the contemporary value worldwide of silver. Same thing with gold and platinum too, because platinum is controlled now by the Russians. We put so many sanctions on Russia and the United States, they better get it figured out. The thou shall not covet anything that is thy neighbor's applies to Russia. We have just stolen $300 billion of their money, The BRICS nations, the Brazil, Russia, India, Iran, China, and as South Africa, I've been warning people from my sources. I know some of you guys know this, but there's going to be Operation Sandman that's in effect, that every nation, 145 of them, Rob, are going to basically repudiate the dollar, which simply means we won't take it anymore. What's fascinating is Zimbabwe, which is Rhodesia, which used to be the breadbasket of the world for wheat next to the United States and Canada. And they just backed their currency with gold. And everybody in Africa wants to have now the gold-backed currency. It's still wrong because it's paper, but the promise of backing with gold was enough to get people. People don't know where to go with their money. And remember this, we're told that all that a man has will he sell for his meal, obviously Esau, and pottage. And so people have got to get this under their mental hats, if you will. What do you do when the lights go out? And it's not a song about Georgia, you know. It is a song of, I would say this, it is a song of ignorance, and the howling that will go up in this country will be unlike anything, anywhere, anytime. Because again, I can tell you an interesting story. Do I have 30 seconds to tell a story?
Probably just 30, yep.
Yep, it's start the clock. A woman heard me talking about gold and silver. She was mocking. That very night, God gave her a vision between Idaho and Montana. The Russian troops, this is 25 years ago, were absolutely, they were not allowing anybody through. The woman came up to the Russian and said, I have some silver. The Russian asked her, what will you give for your life? You know what his answer to her was? Ah, silly woman. Silver is for food. Gold is for your life. End of story. So okay. That illustrates everybody knows what gold is worth, and nobody wants Yankee dollar no more. No taking Yankee dollar.
So we want to bring Betty in, but I have a question first, Steve. Should we be trusting in gold and silver?
No.
For bartering purposes.
Yes.
When people are starving, is it going to have any more value for bartering purposes than a Federal Reserve note? Who's going to want a silver eagle when they're starving?
Well, first of all, let me take that argument or that question apart. First of all, gold and silver are recognized worldwide. You're asking me about the hypothetical situation, Rob.
Well, the other thing is that I forgot to mention is this is assuming that central bank digital currencies are already going to be in effect and there is not going to be cash.
So. Well, okay. And with that basis, let me take that apart. Central bank demonically controlled credits are the forerunner to the, if you will, the control of the beast, the mark of the beast. Central bank digital currencies are not the mark of the beast. Because number one, the beast, the literal antichrist who appears along with the two witnesses are not here. Here's the real, I would say, the essence of the argument. Do you believe that you as a Christian with the financial assassination of Christians, i.e. The biggest banks in America denying Christians access to the funds, do you believe that you would trust them? And you should know this, the answer to your question too. You'll be allowed 1,500 calories per day based on your social credit score. You're better off trusting God with that which he has placed in your hand. I do not believe the CBDC even will come to fruition. I could be wrong. I hope you can see my fingers. We're that close to nuclear first strike by Russia. President Putin said, if history has taught him anything, it's he who strikes first wins. And so we're watching the deterioration of our nation, our country. I don't believe there's anything in me that believes that me, given my profile, or as a Christian, will be able to live in the society. If they're already making prayer, silent prayer, illegal, putting you in prison, if they're already saying whatever parameters they're finding in Canada, you've got a Bible that's prisonable. Grounds for it. If the very hatred of God by the Muslim, and I'm saying this knowing full well what I mean, and I hope everybody else gets it, but Trudeau hates Christianity. He absolutely is an Islamophobe, not Islamophile. There you go. He loves Islam. I mean, he's got pictures of him. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, you know who his best friends are? Yuval Harari and Klaus Schwab. Do you know who introduced Yuval Harari into the gay lifestyle? Klaus Schwab. Do you know that his wife, I'm talking Pierre Trudeau's wife, divorced him because of, let's just say this, his proclivity for abhorrent lifestyles. Those who embrace that which is forbidden in Romans chapter 1 are going to make war on those who stand for God's creative context, for love, for marriage, for sex. And everything that we see now is to destroy biological differentiation between the sexes, to kill female reproduction. And oh, if Canada's not bad enough, go to the Netherlands. They are killing young women with euthanasia. All it takes is a panel, I think, of two or three doctors declare that lady's crazy. She automatically gets euthanized. What is matter with this world is it's under Satan's control. So I'm answering your question, I hope. I don't believe you, with your profile, Rob, can even imagine living within the context of a central bank digital currency, because DEI, and whether we know it as, at all, do you know that every bank, every financial institution, everybody that is carrying commercial paper, retirement, life insurance policies, they all have some of the most sophisticated AI programs already working. So if you think that, hey, I can squirrel away this, you can't. So here's the deal. You have to decide. You have to purpose in your heart. This is between everybody and God. Lord, I'll take my opportunity with you, but not only will you not be able to live in the world, you'll be sought after to be killed by the world. And I'm sorry, but that's how blunt I know how to be. I believe the scripture bears that, because anybody who doesn't take the mark of the beast, there is no mark of the beast until the beast shows up. But the technology of the beast is here already.
Okay, let's bring Betty in. We're into overtime here, but Betty.
Don't be sorry, Steve. Our pastors don't offend. So you go ahead and keep offending. People need to wake up.
Yeah, I'm an equal offender, you know.
Yeah, but I was wondering, you know, those little silver dimes. So would that be 10%? And let's say one ounce of silver, 0.99 troy ounce silver is $32. Okay, so if you had 10 dimes, would that be $3.20? And a quarter, would that be like $8? And also, you know, once things go down, and let's say the internets are down and everything's down, and they say silver and gold will, you know, get higher. How do we find out how much silver and gold is worth if we have no way of getting in connected with somebody? Is there a way?
There's a way. It's called a shortwave radio, okay? Because silver and gold are international. And in essence, silver and gold, satellite phones, bivy sticks, you cannot count on anything that the government will try, Betty, to block all that information. But that will be made known worldwide, because you can go, depending on the time of day, on a $250, you know, receiver, shortwave receiver, and get those numbers. You know, some of them actually are there are number stations that broadcast that. So here's the thing. Junk silver is sold at so many times face. Every dollar, a dollar face value in junk silver, I think right now, last time, is about 20 times face. So 10 dimes, it'd be $20, or each dime is $2, okay? Each quarter would be a fraction of that. But a dime is not a tenth of an ounce, a quarter is not a quarter of an ounce, and a half is not half an ounce. Am I answering your question?
Okay. Well, Steve, I'm sorry we have to wrap it up. We're over time, and I didn't get to throw you my curveball, which is I wanted to ask you what you know about CERN, but that would probably turn into a whole other show, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would, because we're talking about dimensional portals, stargates, and I'm putting out a new film that it's called Earth in the Crosshairs. I'll be putting up, Lord willing, if we're not blowing up the trailer for it, but the gates of hell are very specific. The gates of hell are opening. The book of giants in the Dead Sea Scrolls, the Book of Enoch, talk about the return, but it talks about the gates of hell opening. Jesus said that. But he didn't say the gates of hell aren't going to open. He said, but they will not prevail against the church. That's, and by the way, isn't it interesting? In my opinion, one of the most interesting plays on words is, I use it, Bill Gates of hell, because we're talking about the man that wants to block the sun. We're talking about the man that wants to kill human reproduction. We're talking about, so it's interesting, the gates of hell will be denying mankind everything that God had blessed us with. Now, I want to close with one statement. Rob, it's my contention that everything that God has blessed us with as a nation and as individual believers is going to be taken away from us. And the only thing we'll be able to basically hold on to is that which we're going to be able to fight. And a lot of us are going to die. But the point is that that's not the issue. Jesus said, don't fear him who can kill your body, but fear God who can, after you're dead, cast you into hell, the second death. So again, I would say this just in closing, silver for barter, gold for savings, and you'll be able to find out the value. And everybody in the black market, let me explain something. Even when the Christians were in the catacombs of Rome, they knew the value of silver and gold. And they had people, which I would call runners, but they had facilitators that would take their funds and bring back food or medicine, whatever they needed. We now have the total surveillance society. And so we're all going to have to be attuned, in my opinion, to where the Spirit of the living God leads us, because where God leads, he feeds. And that's not a slogan. That's a biblical principle. God bless each and every one of you. Thank you for, you know, letting me hear today, or giving me the opportunity to be heard today.
Well, thank you, Steve. Appreciate it. We're going to have to get you back on and talk more about that curveball I had. So,
okay.
You can get more information on Steve at stevequayle.com or gensix.com, G-E-N-S-I-X.com, stevequayle.com or gensix.com. Thank you, Steve, and I'll be back next week. Our guest will be David Sorensen from stopworldcontrol.com. And a very interesting guest. So we'll see you then. Until then, God bless.
Thank you. Bye-bye.